morning, church. Morning, church. Sorry, I was in Joshua Tree last weekend, rock climbing. Yeah. Well, we're picking back up with our Belong series, and we're exploring the church membership, and we're asking the questions, what does it mean to belong to the church? What does it mean to belong to the Free Methodist denomination? What does it mean to belong to Orange Coast Free Methodist Church? Today, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to belong to the Free Methodist denomination. Someone has been giving me a hard time from Rise that I haven't used a physical illustration lately, so I brought one in my APU bag. Ooh, it's a little stinky. Ew, yeah, what's in here? I brought you guys radishes. You know why I brought radishes this morning? Because we're exploring our roots. Yes, thank you for laughing. All right, I'll be here all morning. All right. Woo. We're exploring our roots in the Free Methodist denomination, and I love our history in the Free Methodist Church. I wrote a 20-page paper on the Free Methodist history of our church. And so I'm excited to be here to share about what I've been learning, what I love, and I think we have so much to learn from our roots that impact our society today. So we're going to get into it. But before we do, quick recap, because it's been 2 weeks since our first sermon. Pastor Toby looked at Acts 2 and how the church demonstrated that they were committed to the teaching of the church, they're committed to the breaking of bread, and we shared in communion and Eucharist together. They're committed to praying, they're committed to sharing their belongings with each other and with the others in need. And so what we saw is that the church became a powerful place for safety for people to come together. And the church began to practice what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, is that you are going to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But it had to start first with beginning to care for the people and their community and the people closest around them. So as we get into the Free Methodist Church history, I want to start by looking into Scripture first. So we're going to look at Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. So Luke 4, verses 16 to 30. We're going to kind of like stop and go on our way. Christina likes my actions. We're going to stop and go. All right. Starting in verse 16. When he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Here Jesus is in his hometown, and he's practicing the same way that most Jews would. They would go to the synagogue, and here he is going to teach from a very specific text and context in the scripture of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah covers this entire journey of the Israelite people from comfort and stability and lots of money and success that which God brought them into, but they abused that power. They abused their money, their success, and they oppressed others. And so what God did was that as a result, he put them into a state of captivity. And then as a result, God then brings them back out of captivity and back into their motherland. And they come back to their motherland and they find it in a state of disarray. And the message to them now is going to be, the tables have turned, but there's hope in the newness of the Lord. So verse 8 reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Jesus is pushing into social and ethical direction. The poor, the blind, the imprisoned people are for Jesus primarily those with social and physical need. those that are on the outskirts of society. And Jesus is referencing the Deuteronomic slavery law, and he's saying slaves would work for 6 years, and on the seventh year they would be free, and today, now, people are going to be free. It starts now. No more slavery. But it gets even better. Verse 23, he said to them, "Doubtless, you will quote me on this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is that there will be many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there's a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah sent none of them except to a widow, Zarephath, in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." There's a lot of Old Testament references going on here. And so what Jesus is doing here, and he's opening up the promises for the Israelites, and then he's pushing it. He's extending it out to other people, to the Gentiles. And he's giving us two examples for the inclusion of the Gentiles in God's salvation. One, Zarephath, who was nurtured by Elijah during a great famine. That's why the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, because there's a famine on the land. But Zarephath was nurtured by Elijah to become part of the family of God. And two, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, who suffered from leprosy, was healed by Elisha. God's people cannot just be found only in Israel, but they come across all national and racial borders. God's people is universal, and it's valid for everyone. And it gets better. How do you think the crowd's going to respond to this? Because earlier, he read this, and the crowd's amazed. Like, wow, this is great. We want to hear more. Their eyes are fixed upon him. And now we're going to get the response to them telling him telling the people that it's not just about them, but it's about others. Verse 28, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They're angry. This is no longer good news for us. They got up and they drove him out of the town. They led him to the brow of a hill in which their town was built upon, and they wanted to hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through. He walks through in the midst of them, and he went on his way. Jesus says, "Oh, we're just going to walk on through this crowd. They want to kill me, and they want to throw me off the cliff. I'm just going to walk on through." The devout Jewish people want to push him out of the town and off of a cliff because of the words that he said. Initially, they're like, "This is great news. He's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to free the slaves. This is great news. I'm all for this. Are you for this?" And then he says, "It's not just for you people sitting in here. It's for the people out there. And it's not for the people that you have history with. It's not for the people that look like you. It's not for the people that talk the same language as you. It's for the people out there beyond." And then they get angry. So angry that they want to push him off a cliff. And I think this is what the Free Methodist history is about. The cry of Jesus for the good news on behalf of those on the outskirts of society. The Methodist church began as an appeal to the poor of communities. And John Wesley adamantly was against slavery and welcomed poor into churches. So the Methodists began to meet in modest locations. They didn't have church buildings. They had houses. They had barns. They had groves outside. They had country schools. They didn't have a church building because they were poor. So I have a picture of pews for you here. Pews then at that time were a place where you could go to church and you would have to pay for your pew. You got your own little section, you know? So the Granucci's, we'd roll together. And then Saki and I would be there and we'd be like, wow, that's a lot of space for two people. When are they going to have their babies? But, you know, Saki and I might not even have one. We probably don't have enough money to rent a pew. So then there are people that were poor, they couldn't rent pews. But the Methodist church, they're poor, but and they reached out to the communities, they got popular. Because all of those people that were pushed out by society, that were previously said you couldn't go to church, they found a church to belong in. And then that church said, we're going to charge you to come to church. The Methodists weren't using their wealth, their prosperity for the benefit of others. They're using it for themselves. They weren't using it to bring others into the family of God. They weren't using it to set others free. They weren't using it for the gospel. They're using it for themselves. And so a man named B.T. Roberts comes along in the Methodist church and he says, this isn't right. This isn't what our roots are about. Our roots are better than this. Do you remember our roots? We said that everyone could come. B.T. Roberts always said the provisions of the gospel are for all. And that's where our roots are. And he said, we can't sell these pews. We can't own slaves. There are pastors, Methodist pastors, that were owning slaves. And B.T. Roberts says, this isn't in our roots. And I have another picture for you. On the left, these are two different medallions used to advocate against slavery. On the left is an image from the British Empire, which first outlawed slavery prior to America. And you can find William Wilberforce was a great person that fought against slavery. And then this image of the man here is supposed to be Aquino, who was a slave as a child and eventually brought freedom from his slavery. And he is pictured here because he was someone that advocated against slavery as well. And the phrase here is, am I not a man and a brother? Don't I have the image of God in me? Aren't we all brothers in Christ here? And B.T. Roberts is going to take this even a step further here in America, I think. He makes this one. Am I not a woman and a sister? Here he's advocating an intersectionality of someone of both a woman and an African-American slave. Someone that experienced both oppression from both sides as a woman and as a slave. And B.T. Robertson says, we need to stand against this. We need to stand for the equality of the image of God in everyone. Leslie Marston, in this book, From Age to Age, A Living Witness. You can find it. Phil had to read it. Toby had to read it. Anyone that has to become a pastor in the Free Methodist denomination has to read this book. Whether you actually read it or not for the class, you sign it and you say that you read it. It's a large book. It's a large book. Whether you read it or not, I'm not going to hold it against you, Toby. Did you read it? Parts of it. Oh, see? Parts of it. I read the whole thing for my paper, maybe not for the class. All right, this is a good quote. Our present mission as a church is not only to conserve our heritage, but to share its benefits by applying the ageless principle of our holy religion to the problems of a complex age. We remember our roots, and our roots are so important. And our roots are timeless. Our roots as a church in Acts 2 are timeless. our roots as a Free Methodist Church, as a gospel for all people, that is timeless. We remember these things and we hold on to them. But we don't just hold on to them and we don't just hide them and we don't just remember them, but we act upon them. We remember these. These are still our values. We still care for the people in our church. We start here in our own little Orange Coast, Costa Mesa, Jerusalem here, and we care for our community around us. But we go out as well. It goes to the ends of the earth. It goes farther and farther out. As we look into our roots of Free Methodist denomination, we see a movement acting strongly on the outsiders of society. We see Jesus' declaration for ministry for the outsiders in the reading of Isaiah's scroll. And when you decided and when you signed up to be a Christian, or maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I'm not so sure, you don't just decide that all your sins are forgiven and you get to come and sit in church and you're off the... You don't have to do anything. You just sit here. When you sign up to be a Christian, you sign up to be a follower of the roots. You sign up to say, yes, it makes me angry, but also it's inspiring to say that all people come into this church. That my mission here is that all people have value. When I think we hear from Jesus, and you might be angry with me, is a modern call for social justice. And I'm going to add environmental justice too. I think this topic is so important for us today. This is something that resonates with a young millennial in your church. That I think the world is looking around and it's asking, where are the Christians? There are so many different social justice things going on right now. And the world is looking, where are the Christians? I want us to be a church and say, we're here, and we're doing something. Just as B.T. Roberts said, you can't sell the pews, you can't own slaves. I want us to be a people that stand for social justice issues. I'm not asking you to quit your jobs. I'm not asking you to devote to this 24/7 a day. I'm asking you to pick something that resonates with you. I'm asking you to pick a social justice issue that you care for, that you can be passionate about, and that you can turn to the person to the right and the left of you, and you can say, come on, come join me. We're a Free Methodist Church. We stand for social justice. We don't sit here just in our church, and we don't just care for one another in our church, but we care for people that the world doesn't want to care for. We say, we see the image of God in you, and we're going to do something about it. And this is what I think it means to be a Free Methodist, that you also care for your church, you care for your neighbor, you care for the world, and it invites you to do something. You have to act on it, and you have to do something that's going to make you uncomfortable. And it's going to do something that maybe other Christians might get angry at you for. They might have a response where they're first like, this sounds really good. Yeah, Jesus is for everybody. I agree. But we're going to have to go out there and do something about it. I don't know if I want that or not. You're going to sign up for this. This is what I think it means to be a Free Methodist. My heart is that we can be the ones demonstrating God's heart for people. That we can be the people that communicates what Jesus did. That it's about setting people free. That we get to be in partnership with God. That he's going to use and work in and through us to bring his kingdom here. It's working and it's coming, and you can be a part of it because it's growing. The roots are growing and the kingdom is going to come and you get to be a part of it. Let's pray. Lord, for those of us that are iffy this morning, will you help us to wrestle what it means to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow you? God, thank you for your message of freedom for all. Thank you for setting those roots for us. Thank you for people that have gone before us, like John Wesley and B.T. Roberts, people that we can look forward, look backwards to, and be inspired to look forward because of them. God, may we be people that stand on the behalf of others on the outside of society. In Jesus' name I pray.